to go.
You good to go?
Oh, yeah.
All right, man. Let's make a show.
Yeah.
Play us in. I'm not going to talk.
Just gonna, I know what we're watching.
Right? I'm just going to listen.
That's a baritone guitar, John.
That's sweet. All right, listener. Hey, this is John.
This is John with a lot of bass. I don't know what that happened there.
Let me try that again. This is John. No, you can keep going if you want.
Sounds good.
All right. This is John. As a matter of fact, yes, please keep going. This is John. This is Home From Here. And I'm making a public apology to my guests because I was supposed to show up at your thing.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
We wondered where you were. We worried.
So first off, getting me out of the house at any night is hard, but not impossible, but hard. But that particular night, my daughter had a panic attack about colleges because all her friends said, hey, we're going in 2 weeks on all these tours, and she hadn't arranged a tour yet. And she was, you know, she's 16, so it's either 10 or 0.
Yeah.
And that was 10. And she's like, please, you know, I'm the one that can get it together to actually coordinate that. So I'm like, except, I take that back, Trisha's actually doing a good job. So I'm like looking at this weaked out teenager and the clock at the same time, and I'm like, I'm fucked. But I said, but I will apologize to them on the show.
There you go.
Very nice.
I am with you. Well, you guys know these guys, Becky Davis, Tom O'Brien. Welcome. Thank you so much.
Great to be back.
And yeah. and I know you're not going to trust me, but next one you have. I don't believe me. Just when I show up, just say, oh, okay, he did.
He's here.
Okay, thank you.
He made it.
So do you want to talk about those events first?
Yeah. So okay. Yeah, we won't keep our audience in suspense any longer what we're talking about. Tom and I host a singer-songwriters in the round concert about once every other month is what we're kind of on to right now. It's called Songs and Stories. It's in Bedford, New York, although I think we're getting ready to mix up the location. And it's just a really cool, intimate evening with singer-songwriters where they perform typically in the round with three people, and they just go down the line and the Nashville Songwriters Round, and
that's
they
so cool.
Talk about their song and how they wrote it. And last week we had Riley Cotton. She's a singer-songwriter from Connecticut. We had Alex Cano, who's from Pound Ridge, actually my neighbor in Pound Ridge. And then we had Dustin Lohman, who is from Brooklyn, who is hysterical. Tom and I were just talking about him.
As good as the, like John Prine, the stuff John Prine said between the songs.
Was as good as the song, yeah.
And that's like Dustin, he's hysterical. And yeah, we'll maybe get links to all of them because they're really
totally
fun
put
night.
Up links, yeah.
Really fun night.
Yeah, really, really fun. And everybody has such a great time. It's about an hour and a half show. And we've had different audiences each time, and everybody is just blown away. They're just like, they love it because it's so unique. It's so different.
How do I find out about it?
So it's on, I have it on my website. Do you have it on your website? So
what's your website?
My website is Becky Davis Musing.
Spell Becky.
Becky is with an I. B-E-C-K-I Davis Musing, M-U-S-I-N-G. And it's under my songs tab.
Okay, cool. And your website,
Tom? And I'm Tom O'Brien Music, but with an H. We have to do this. We have to mess with T-H-O-M.
Okay. We're artists.
Right.
We're artists. Tom O'Brien Music. And I, all the social media platforms will have that.
All right, cool. Are you on Facebook?
No.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, but not Facebook.
Why?
There's a story.
There's a story. There was a stalker.
Was there?
Even yeah.
Dude.
There was a near, restraining order involved. There was lingerie thrown on my on my shrubs outside my house.
Wait, that's bad because
John's like, where's the problem?
Yeah,
here?
I'm like,
when I went to the cops, they started to laugh. I said, dudes, this is not funny. Especially since my staff was going to walk in the next morning and there were.
I have an internet stalker too, and I'm doing like a so, but my internet stalker writes everybody I know. Like if I announce, like, we're doing the did you hear your solo?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You haven't heard the song yet, right? Because you're not on Facebook. All right. I'll text it to you. But I understand why now. That's a legit reason. But no, so my troll writes everybody that I know and tells them what an asshole I am.
Oh.
It's really nice. So we're in.
Wow.
Yeah. So YouTube probably will get an email at some point telling you what kind. And so like the normal strategy is don't talk about it. And I'm like, because you don't want to give that person attention. Right. And but then I'm like, okay, wait a second. How I handled suicide was, I said, I'm just going to talk about it until it's so far out in front of me that everybody's like, oh, okay, yeah, you were going to kill yourself and then you didn't. That's good. Yep. What's for dinner? And so I'm now treating my troll the same way. I'm mm-hmm. just going to talk about him so much that everybody's bored of him and mm-hmm. then we'll move on from there. But yeah. But no, I get it, man. Kidding aside, stalkers are scary.
I also liked, I just like Instagram visually. It's calmer, you know, like Facebook just had too much stuff flying around. I like images and a couple of lines.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's broadening out now too because we've been putting music up on it.
Yeah,
it's not as limited as it was. But
how many songs are you guys doing today? Because I want to space them out.
We were talking about that. We have.
You can do as many as you want.
Yeah. So we have one we're going to do together.
Okay.
And I think we each have one other than that.
Yeah. Okay. What do you want to do first?
Oh, are we ready to jump in?
We're 15 minutes in. We got to get moving.
Okay, we got to get moving. Yeah. Do you want to do yours first or do you want to do it?
Let's do Indiana.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to do.
Oh, I love this song.
Do I have that guitar?
Yes, you can.
Is that all you have to do to get a guitar? Just say, can I have that guitar?
See? Look at the new guitar I just got, John.
That's, uh-huh. that's
I know. This is amazing.
And I'm gonna take pictures of you guys while you're singing, but I'm definitely listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to play along on this? Because I brought chords for you.
Let's take a look. I don't know.
It's an easy to play song. You can definitely.
If you want. There you go.
Yeah. But, thank you.
So this is a song that Tom and I co-wrote together 3 years ago. It's about my home state, Indiana. And it's a song that came to me from in Indiana. I was running flat and fast in Indiana on the flat roads in Indiana. And this title just came to me, Indiana Air. And just as fast as the title came, it also came, you're supposed to co-write the song with Tom. And I was like, that is bizarre. Tom and I had never co-written anything together and weren't really even doing anything musically together at the time. We've always been friends. We're in a band together.
Right.
And then we both went into different bands and we weren't doing anything musically together. But I literally stopped dead on the side of the road. And I was like, I'm going to text him right now before I question this anymore.
14 minutes into the show, our first woo woo moment.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is a woo. I wrote a whole blog post about it. It's on my website.
I love that about you, though. I honestly think you operate on a slightly different frequency.
Do you think that? I'm telling you right now I am.
Yeah.
Oh,
1,000% right now. Something else is in the ether moving me forward
in a good way.
Absolutely. In a crazy, mind-blowingly great way.
What does that feel like?
It feels good. I mean, it feels natural.
Like flow.
It feels like flow.
Yeah.
But you can tell natural. It's not you.
I can tell that there are other factors that have aligned things. I feel like I've done a lot of work to clear my own energy and to try to bring myself into more harmony with life and the world and reality and just everything. And I've just tried to make myself a really positive, energetic match for things to align in my life.
Right.
And that's all happening.
It's amazing how life does that. If you have to be brave enough to make room.
Yes. But and I'm gonna sing that song today about that.
Oh, okay.
That you helped me write.
Well, then I will not.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's funny
that you just said that.
No, but you do. If you make room and be authentic. But it's so hard to trust that that's the thing, right?
It's hard.
Because we're taught the exact opposite. Yes. We're taught what to work for.
Yes.
How to work for it.
That's right.
What success is and what will make you happy. And what you're going through, I'm kind of going through it here on the show too. Like, okay, you know. There were voices telling you that you were crazy to try to be a musician and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And nobody makes any money in music and
right.
blah, 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 blah. And you could pick any other career on the planet you wanted. And you were brave enough to step out. And It's just amazing what happens when you make room, right?
Absolutely.
I destroyed the intro to your song.
No, sorry. Not at all. I think it's a perfect intro because that's the magic that was this song. And there are so many other woo-woo things that happened around it, which, again, we could spend the whole show on it, so I won't, but it's all on my website and my blog.
And you're still doing your podcast, right?
Yeah, Woo Woo in the Real World.
And yes. Where's that? Where do I get that?
That's on everything, Spotify, okay. Apple Podcasts. Yeah. Beautiful. So we talk about a lot of this on that show as well. But so this song 3 years ago, I texted Tom on the side of the road next to a cornfield in Indiana and said, would you want to co-write a song with me? That I think I'm supposed to write with you, and the title is Indiana Air. And he was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
90 seconds later, I text, I'm in.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I know how to work.
We didn't know what it was.
Right.
I had never written a song with anybody.
Right.
And there it was. So this is Indiana Air.
Beautiful.
Oh, by the way, Beck and I have decided, I'm in a very similar place. As we talked about last time, really moved, embracing the music again. As you know, I've been an architect my whole life.
Right. And draw any building you want, but I'm moving away from it now, still keeping it in my life.
But so at this crossroads, but we've decided not to say anything. Nothing is weird. You know, you go, the weirdest thing happened. We don't say that anymore.
Yeah, nothing is weird.
Because it's just, nothing is weird.
Right.
It's
the
all
way
aligned.
The things are aligning right now.
Mm.
And I think that's something to do with the way things are misaligning, you know, that being open and letting things, as you say, get out of the way. Listen to intuition and just follow that, you know, and that's been nothing is weird anymore or strange, or even though some of the stuff that's happening
it's just magical.
It's unbelievable.
It's
magical.
Just kind of magical.
This is Indiana Air.
In the Indiana air, where I learned to breathe, it's an Indiana prayer that dropped me to my knees. In the Indiana night, you can wish upon a star on an Indiana. You remember who you are in Indiana, Indiana, in Indiana, Indiana, oh. The things that I miss, that front porch rocking chair, my father's tender kiss in an Indiana field where the sky goes on for miles. That's where I cut the deal. Just a child in Indiana.
man. That's a good song. That's a good song, man.
Thank you.
I can't say that's the first time I've heard that song, but that's really good.
Thank you. I love
that song. Played right along. Appreciated that.
No. I don't know about right along. Thank you. So things are going great for you. What about you, Tom? Things are going great.
Yeah, since I saw you last, a lot of things have happened. I am just weeks away from getting that long playing vinyl record delivered to me.
Oh, awesome. Which congratulations.
Which is about a three-year process. Started in COVID when I really started. You know, COVID had a lot of opportunity for me to be on my own because I live a pretty, as you remember back in the day, pretty active life. Stay in my cottage for a year or two. And write some songs, do some architecture.
Fantastic,
and,
man.
So that started the process of making a record. And I remember three songs in, I said to my buddy Pete Donnelly, who's really produced the whole thing and recorded most of it, could I make a long-playing vinyl record? Like, you know, that thing they used to call that we grew up on. And he said, hell yeah. So that's huge. That's about to happen.
And that's fantastic. Like, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that's been one of the great accomplishments of my life.
Like, and it's a legacy.
Yeah, it's all sorts of things. And I just have to buy everybody turntables now. So it's this Christmas, you know, I got two brothers, two sisters. I used to give them cassettes, then CDs.
Right.
And then, but that's going to be good. The architecture is going, the balance between the architecture and the music. Because as I brought music in stronger, that's been, you know, you had to find the right path. But that seems to be balancing out.
Awesome.
And, I'm about to go to Savannah to take a motorcycle trip from Savannah to Asheville.
Okay.
Asheville, one of the coolest places on earth.
Never been.
Then you got to go.
Okay.
Big music city. All the, is it Avett or Avett Brothers? I can't remember.
The Avett Brothers.
Avett Brothers.
Avett Brothers are from that. You know, like really amazing Americana music out of there.
Beautiful.
And then I ride to Knoxville and into from Asheville to Nashville.
Sweet.
And I kept the motorcycle down there for about 2 years. I'm going to keep it there for a little bit.
Do you know the dates you're going to be in Nashville?
It's going to be mid-May, late the 20th.
Oh, okay, that's too late. Okay, I got a couple of friends playing in Nashville, but that's April, I was going to hook you up. So I apologize to you guys. Now I'm going to thank you.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
Well, Becky's also the first person I ever wrote a song with,
and
I just wanted to thank you for making it easy.
Aww.
So then, like, I'm doing this Lifted Project thing, and I had this. She's 24 years old. And she's really good, and I'm like, and she's a good songwriter. And I didn't want to I wanted to be careful with this Lifted Project because it can't be all like John. But so that's why I'm not singing or playing on or anything. Like I'm just trying to. And so I'm like, I need somebody to pop a couple of verses. And I'm like, but I don't even know how to do that. And I'm like, oh wait, I do know. Becky taught me.
Uh-huh. You just asked for help.
Right. Yeah. It was. So thank you for doing that. That was a ton of fun.
Oh, I love writing with you.
This collab thing is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd like to thank you as well because
there you go.
That was the first time.
You is lovely.
It's the
just
Becky
sit
show.
Back, Becky. We're going to do your feet. And
we'd like
you
to
just
really honor you. And
right.
But since then, you know that Chaz Lampin. And
yeah.
I'm now writing a song with a fellow who gave me a Gibson guitar decades ago. And he's from India. We've written a song. I wrote a song called Calcutta Guitar. Now we're co-writing a song. But I never thought about it, you know. And our sessions have been so fun because we sit down, you know, with two pads of paper, a couple of waters and pens ready to go. And the idea.
See, when I did it, she knows that I'm dumb, so she didn't even give me paper.
I did.
She's just
like,
she's like, what are you going to do with paper? You just sit there and play.
I knew his brilliance, and I just knew I knew I needed to just capture it as fast
the middle
as I
man,
could.
Just to get to it. Yeah. But it is what a great thing because we all tend to, whatever we make, whether it's architecture or music, you know, you find your chords and your changes and you find your ideas, but it's so nice when someone else comes in and has a different perspective or sees something that you never saw.
Right.
You know, that's the coolest
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
So I have a woo-woo question.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking about like making room is the first part of that. After that, what percentage of good things that happen to you are personal responsibility?
I mean, I think it's 50-50 because I see it very much as a co-creation. That's my take on it. I think that I believe in a divine intelligence that organizes the universe in some kind of pattern or fashion. I think that we are here to fill in the other half. So in the Jewish tradition, there's something called Tikkun Olam. okay. which is to heal the world. And that is everyone's purpose. We're all brought into the world for Tikkun Olam, to help heal the world, to help make it a better place. And it's very much seen as we all have a purpose here, and it is to co-create with what is here, with what, you know, they call it God. I call it a unit of force. To me, that's so I'm kind of like in a 50-50 game, you know.
Right.
I think that I take responsibility, and I think we have to. I think there is personal responsibility that has to be taken. And I think a lot of things are out of our control.
Yeah.
And for me, it's been to use the river analogy.
Okay.
I went through a lot of my life going down the river without a paddle, like just going, reacting, you know, in real time, mm-hmm. and then develop the skills, the time, the forgiveness to get a paddle,
mm-hmm.
still moving with the river,
right?
But with control,
making choices.
Yeah. And that's the big thing, because the river's moving, your life is moving, and shit's happening all around you.
Right.
But it's what you pick up on and how you navigate it, I guess, would be the best way to say it.
So do you collaborate with the force, or do you let the – because some collaborations are you write the lyrics, send me the lyrics, I'll write the song, music,
mm-hmm.
and we'll give it to Tom and he'll sing it. And we never have to – there's not really much working together. It's just you do one phase, I do another. Or when you collab with the unifying force, is it – a collaboration where there's a relationship and there's...
I think it's an openness. So I think it goes back to your point about the room, leaving space for it. You know, right. I try to every morning as part of the stuff I do in the morning, I try to give the space and time for me to dial into that relationship.
How do you do that?
Through meditation.
Okay.
I also chant. So I will chant bija mantras, which are associated with your chakras.
Okay.
So this last two months, I've been chanting Om 108 times almost every day.
What impact has that had?
You know, it's immediately it's calming. It's soothing. It helps de-escalate your central nervous system in general. Chanting does. It mm-hmm. just has a physical effect on the cellular level of calming down our nerves. And
it's part breathing exercise.
It is. It is part breathing. It is part slowing your mind down, because it takes you out of your mind. It helps you just do something repetitive, which helps take you out of your mind. All of those things. So it's physically good for you. But energetically, what they say with 108, there's a specific thing with 108 chanting Om, it's that it helps align your energy to... It helps align it to its highest good, and it helps you then become an attractive magnet to other things that are aligned at that same energetic level.
Right, right. You meditate, Tom?
I don't. I have morning rituals though.
What are they?
A prayer that our mom taught us many years ago. Simply, and the prayer is thanking God and or the universe
that
another day's there's sun coming up. To be open, to laugh, to love, to pray, and to give, and to just be in thanks for another day of life.
Mm.
So that's a really good, and I literally, the first thing I see out the window is usually cardinals. We both like redbirds and cardinals, as in the song. But to be thankful for the day. And I also go out at night and do the same thing, look up at the stars and moon, because I live in a nice little cottage. But around this thing, around moving with the force, for a lot of our lives we resist, you know, the hard stuff we don't want to go through, you know, we go, and what came up looking back was I could pinpoint the three or four biggest crossroads, biggest heartbreaks, biggest times when things got fucked up, you know, going out of business, you know, missing the ferry that had a job out on Vancouver Island where I was going to stay in a hotel for 2 weeks and be paid heavily. Like, stuff that happened always, in retrospect, led to something different and amazing.
Yeah.
It's hard in the moment mm-hmm. to go with it. It's hard to be with it and not resist when things are bad.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point now, I'm like, whatever this is, I'm not going to resist it because it's not going to help to resist it. So I'll be with it. It won't be comfy. But there may be a great opportunity on the other side of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when things go flat out, you ain't got nothing. You got nothing to lose. Well, killing one saying. You
yeah.
Know?
No, it's true. The I know exactly. Like when I left the station, I didn't have studios to go to or anything. And yeah. this thing is my life. And I'm like,
yeah.
But you and I, same thing. I went flat, and I'm like, okay. But if this is really what you're meant to do, and if this is your flow, studios will appear. And studios appeared,
yep.
like the next day.
Yes. Yeah,
and I'm like, oh man, that's so.
See,
weird.
We would say that's not weird or woo woo.
That's just the way. Yeah, but John, I want to say
this is fantastic seeing you here. You know, you do such a. You know, I've only been on one of your shows, but it's so easy, but put together and professional. And like, this is your backdrop. You know,
this feels
really good to see you in a place that's going to support.
Oh, thank you so much,
and bridge you to the next thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next thing for me is lunch. Yeah. And I'm not going to the diner. Right. Who's singing?
Thank you for saying
that, by the way. That was rude. Thank you for singing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that
very much. So, as a matter of fact, I may pull that out and just play it over and over again at home.
So a couple of things since I saw you last. One is I talked about, I got this new baritone guitar. So I brought the baritone guitar for you just today.
Thank you. And I did play it.
I know
it,
you're a guitar geek.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
That is a gorgeous guitar.
That would be a Taylor. It's a custom shop. And you like the number. So it's an 80s 26E baritone special edition. So I've been looking for this guitar.
By the way, I'm going to get instant messages about where to get this guitar. I'm sending them all to you.
Yeah, sounds good.
On Instagram, but I'm sending them all to you.
If you ever need to do a recording with a baritone, if you're feeling that Johnny Cash moment, give me a shout. But the other thing that happened, it came out of Beck and I going to NRFA, finding out
tell people what NRFA is.
NRFA is the Northeast
Regional Folk Alliance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a conference.
With Breakout. It's a big convention. Everybody's playing in Breakout. That's where we met.
Dustin.
Dustin, yeah. Mm-hmm. He just sat next to us, the fellow who played the funny guy the other night. So in one of the Breakout talks, and I talked about this last time, they said, find your four best songs, and what is the theme, and write about that.
Okay.
And I said, on your show, it's all about me going on motorcycle trips, hitchhiking, and coming home.
Right.
You know, that's why I always interchange home to here and here to home.
Right.
Because
well,
I'm either out there or coming back.
Right.
And that's my whole life, you know. So I started thinking, well, and I also thought I'd think about what have I done my whole life? Made homes.
Are you? Okay, I know. Okay.
So this really came out of that conversation. I thought, maybe I'll put the two together. Maybe the house is an analogy or a metaphor for a relationship. This one is called Little Renovations. I'm singing it about a step or two lower in honor of you.
Oh, man. Thank
you. So you can hear this guitar.
To get it on the baritone.
Thank you so much.
And you said, is it a riff that it comes out of sometimes? This came out of this riff.
Oh, yeah, I know when that happens, right. Yeah.
Remember when we moved in, just a chair, a bed, a table. We couldn't wait to begin, not ready but also able. Nothing really mattered, not a lot but not alone. Painting up on that ladder, we made that house our home. We built this house together, but once we almost lost it. Braved all kinds of weather, tired house but not exhausted. Now there's cracks in the foundation, yeah we lost some brick and stone. Time for some renovations, cause our house still has good bones. I don't want a house with any of us. Sometimes I know we both feel smothered and want to run away. But how about we stay and fix it up? Years can wear us all down. Every house can fall. Something that's found built so many walls. These are the earlier version lyrics. So many times, maybe we don't need space or big some addition. Maybe it's just time we face some walls. This is the important line. Need demolition. We've all been there.
Some walls need demolition.
Amen.
Yes, darling.
I'm not breaking up with you. This is demolition.
And then it gets warm here, and I go, I don't want a house with any other. Sometimes I know we both feel smothered and want to run away. How about we put her back on solid ground? How about you stick around? 'Cause you're my house, my home, my town. How about we both fix her up? How about we just fix her up?
Yup.
That
guitar's sweet, man.
Is that something else?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry about that. These are my, this is about two edits before the final edit. But there you go.
No, we got
it. It came through, right?
We got the point.
You got
yeah.
the demolition line.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you need the demolition
darling,
line.
Darling, we might just have to pull some of these walls we built.
We're going to the studs, and then
yeah,
we'll see.
Exactly right.
Do you, so you pray.
I do.
Tom, pray.
Sure.
Are you religious?
Here's the funny, I grew up in, you know, O'Brien, Catholic
yeah.
church, you know,
right.
a Catholic school.
Right.
Nuns, priests. And fortunately, it was at the time when the church was really starting to become, trying to become hip.
Okay.
So here I was like the first one to play folk guitar and yeah. you know, for church mass. And I had a great, I love the stories of Catholicism. I love this, all the stories of Jesus and the Beatitudes. And I had that stuff down from 9 years of Catholic school. About 13, I just started not buying all of it, you know.
Right.
And I had the vision or the nerve or the, I knew it was important that there was one really cool priest named Father Smith. And I went to talk to him on a Friday night before a Fox Lane dance.
Nice.
I can remember I was wearing my brother's olive green corduroy jacket. And I had about a gallon and a half of English leather aftershave on. So our eyes were watering, you know.
Beautiful.
Pre-dance.
Yep, yep.
I was
yep.
going to be, you know.
You got to grease it up. You got to grease it up.
And anyway.
Absolutely.
I just said to the priest.
Sneaking up on no one.
That I was really struggling. I was 13. I was really struggling with. I said, we're sitting in leather chairs. And there's, you know, people in the South Bronx. And he goes, this is so weird. I came from the South Bronx, as Father Smith. And I have to say, yeah, this is kind of wild. Because it was Westchester County. And
yeah.
And anyway, he could see I was really struggling with it. And then I said, and I kind of got quiet, probably looked like I was going to pass out. And he said, is there anything else? I'm like, yeah, there is. I won't be in church on Sunday. And I probably looked like I was going to pass out. And he said, I take it you're not going to be sick. I mean, he threw me a bone.
Right, yeah.
I go, no. And then a couple of very interesting questions.
Mm.
He didn't say, you got to come to church.
Right.
He said, what do you think of that?
Mm.
And I said, it's scary.
Mm.
And he goes, why is it scary? I said, well, because I've been told it's like a mortal sin. It's like kill someone, don't go to church intentionally. It's the same deal.
Right.
And he said, the great Father Smith, what do you think of that?
Mm.
And I took a long freaking time. The same thing happened when my ride left Woodstock, which saw my head started going, no, I don't think it's a mortal sin.
Right.
And then I hope he's way up in the Catholic Church now, so I hope he doesn't get in trouble. Because he could have been excommunicated. He said, well, then it's not.
Mm, that's wise, though.
Wise. What it did was he said, you want to own your own religion? Mm. I mean, you know, lining
right.
up is
yeah.
fine. I could never line up.
Right.
he said, "You want to own it?" And it blew my head.
Yeah.
I went running down that front of the church in Kisco. It's a big church. I ran up to Leonard Park, probably about a mile run. So, like, with my mind was blown because 9 years of stuff was just like
right
coming down.
Yeah.
And I could decide, what do I want to take what you leave and take what you want and leave the rest.
Right.
I decided everything about that I loved about the church. I kept it. I'll go to Easter Mass, you know.
Yeah.
I always like going to Christmas Eve. But it was an amazing thing for him to do for a young
It's a
kid.
Very wise thing
so
to do.
I was left completely
intact.
Because
that's what you're going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to... People always get to a point where they want agency, whether it's in a relationship right. Yeah. Or it's spiritually or whatever. Eventually... You're going to take what works for you anyway.
Yeah.
So giving permission early on just lets you be happier longer.
And it's led to a very spiritual life.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It's not with confines.
Right.
But I certainly ask for help and I, you know, at crossroads and right. But so yeah, I have my own.
Cool.
I got my own version of it all. You know?
Beautiful. You yeah. pray, Becky?
I do. It's different. It's probably doesn't look like how I was raised. I was also raised Catholic.
Right.
And went to Catholic school from first grade through 12th grade.
Really?
And,
that
yes,
explains
indeed.
The handwriting? Go ahead.
Yeah, it does explain the handwriting, correct. Yep. Explains a lot of my, like,
yep.
keep it in between the lines tendencies.
Yep.
My dad actually was a deacon in the Catholic church. Like, we were a very Catholic family.
Yeah.
And my mother is still very Catholic, and my sisters are all Catholic. I mean, I never converted to Judaism. I raised my kids Jewish. My ex-husband's Jewish. I love the world's wisdom traditions
mm-hmm.
because there is a lot of truth. We talked about this when we were talking to Perdita on the interview with Perdita Finn,
mm-hmm.
that the way I look at it is there is a river of truth that runs underneath everything, that organizing principle I was talking about before. And religions are just containers that try to organize that water, right? And help people make sense of them. And those containers are hugely important. Because I don't think that individually the majority of us have the capacity to dip our cup into that river and make sense of it immediately
right.
from the beginning.
Right.
I think first half of life containers are so important, and I'm always grateful for mine.
Yeah,
I'm not a practicing Catholic right now, but I don't hate the Catholic Church. I think it's broken. Mm. I think that they have... process they need to go through for their own true religion, which means to realign, religio.
Right.
So they need to do some of their own religion and do some work on themselves to really realign with what that truth is,
right?
And not what they want their container to hold so tight to.
I have the Catholic Church too, because
here we are.
Well, I'm a Burton, so I'm not Catholic, but I'm Protestant. But I went to a Catholic kindergarten, nursery school, and kindergarten. And I'm in nursery school. I'm like, gotta be like 4 years old. And they bring us all in this room, and Sister Mary Ellen comes in. And she's got this acoustic guitar, and she sits down and she sings "Happiness Is" from "You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown." And the whole time, in whatever the 4 year old version of "What the fuck is that?"
Yes,
I was
yes.
like, "Oh my God, that's what I have to do."
Same.
And right?
Yes.
Right? I'm like,
yes.
"Oh my God." And then, maybe you can relate to this too. And then I listened to what everybody else said and did corporate for 25 years that I wish I hadn't done.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, that you have like that honest moment where you're like, oh my God, you first see somebody do what you want to do. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And she blew me away, man.
Thank you, sister.
Yeah, thank mm-hmm. you, sister.
I was going to say one other thing that as part of my morning ritual, I read something called the Tao 365. Which is Tao? Is there Taoist? They're one pagers.
Okay.
And they're, which is good, you know.
Yep.
Get the idea. And it's for 365 days, and they track with the seasons and stuff.
The Tao 365.
So though Taoism, it's you know, it's a form of Buddhism.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna say no, it's not. It's you know, but it's an Eastern religion.
That right.
It's really about the insights and the calmness. So I
well,
in
a lot
my
of
morning
people
ritual,
that say Eastern.
I do that.
Oh, sorry.
I do that in the morning ritual is read that
beautiful.
Every day. So that's another, when you say, are you spiritual or religious?
Right.
That's part of my spiritual, morning spiritual.
There's
ritual.
A lot of people who say that Eastern Buddhism isn't Buddhism. And I'm, it makes me crazy, but, can you sing, please, Becky?
I can,
awesome.
In fact. I know, I was just actually sitting here thinking if I wanted to switch which song, only because I did write a song about my music teacher who taught me to sing.
Okay.
And taught me how to play guitar. And she was my Catholic school teacher.
Oh, sweet. So,
you know, I might do that if that's okay. I'm switching
anything
it up.
You want to do.
I'm switching it up, yeah, actually, because I feel like I like to do this song in her honor. And since we're talking about Catholic schools and all of that.
I could still, like, I can't remember much. I can't remember much, period, but I can still see Sister Mary Ellen sitting there going, happiness is two scoops of ice cream. And I'm like, holy. I don't think I said fuck, but I would have.
Yeah.
And that's then, what you were feeling as a young 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, so my third grade teacher, actually, her name was Miss McPherson, and she played guitar, and she played a lot of Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Oh, there you go.
So she played Stewball. You know, Stewball is a racehorse.
Yeah.
Wish she were mine. She played that one up for us all the time, and I loved her. But it was really Teresa Eckrich, who was the music teacher at Little Flower. That's where I went, St. Teresa of the Little Flower on the east side of Indianapolis. And she was the music teacher there and phenomenal musician, phenomenal singer. She organized the best choirs. She could get kids to play and do just unbelievable things.
Mm.
And I thought she was amazing. And she had a roommate. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough.
She had a roommate. I only ever knew Denise as her roommate.
Right.
Until I was much older.
And then learned what air quotes are.
Correct.
Right.
And learned what air quotes were. And then she, Teresa Eckrich, she passed away several years ago. And in the time around when she passed away, I had a dream. Again, this is a woo-woo trip, right?
So yep.
I had a dream and I was like on a stage performing and I got off the stage and everything was really loud. But there was her roommate. Her roommate's name is Denise. And I was like, this is so weird. Why is Denise here? Right? And she was talking and she was saying something very urgently. And I couldn't make it out. I was like, I can't hear you. What are you saying? And finally, I heard enough. And she said, tough love. You need more tough love. And I was like, what? And I woke up and I was like, what the hell? Like, why was Denise in my dream? Like, why wasn't Teresa Eckrich in my dream? Like, this is so weird. And so it took me actually several years to pull this song. But I knew it was a song. And it took me several years to pull the song down. And I did.
I love the way you say that. Took me a couple years to pull this song down.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I did. I had to kind of like work hard on this one to get it to pull to come to me. But anyway, so this is called Tough Love. It's in honor of Teresa Eckrich. Through the eyes of a child, I couldn't see how her life would bring most to their knees. I never knew she couldn't love out loud. Never knew she had to hide that part of herself. Ooh. She had a tough love, a not going away love. It can break your heart, love, 'cause it's so real. Her love was tough love. They couldn't scare it away, love. Broke her heart wide open. She knew how to heal with a tough love. Gave her voice over to God, sang like an angel, but couldn't crumble their facade. But she didn't take the poison pill, 'cause no man-made doctrine would tell her what was real. Ooh. Ooh. She had a tough love, a not going away love. It can break your heart, love, 'cause it's so real. Her love was tough love. They couldn't scare it away, love. Broke her heart wide open. She knew how to heal with a tough love. All I see is courage and how she fought without a shield. It wasn't perfect, but it was worth it. She died in peace with how she played the deal with a tough love and not going away, love. It can break your heart, love, 'cause it's so real. Her love was tough love. They couldn't scare it away, love. Broke her heart wide open. She knew how to heal with a tough love. Tough love. We could all use tough love.
Ooh. Yes.
There it is.
Beautiful.
You're hitting that guitar pretty hard. Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're becoming
a
basher.
My finger, without just fingers picking there.
Nicely done. So all of us, I was just thinking this a little bit while you were playing that, like the three of us kind of opted to bring music in, not in our 30s.
I was in my 30s.
Oh, you were?
I was.
Yeah. Oh.
I was in my late 30s.
Okay. Then not in our 20s. After a career, how about that?
There we go.
After a career,
yeah.
And I was gonna ask you guys, do you regret not doing that? And then I thought myself, like, I'm like, John, do you regret it? And I'm like, no. I waited until I was 43 to have a kid, and the reason I waited until I was 43 to have a kid was I had to wait until I wasn't an asshole anymore, and so. I'm working on like getting it out of my head that I waited too long. Do you guys struggle with that ever?
I don't put any weight on, everything feels like it's happening when it should.
Okay.
You know, and so a long time ago it was funny because people were asking me during COVID, I seemed so patient and I wasn't anxious. And they said, where did you get that? And I remembered hitchhiking as a kid. When you hitchhike, you don't know when you're going to be right. You can be there 7 minutes. You can be there 7 hours, which happened to me once in northern Canada. Just to be in the moment is the only thing you can be, you know. And then, and that sounds sweet. I mean, I wasn't happy to be standing on the side of a road for 7 hours, but I learned how to juggle, actually. That's what I did. I took rocks and learned how to juggle. So I would say I don't have, and even to say regrets, I don't. The stuff I'm writing now, I never would have written back then.
Right.
You know, the insight into this thing about going and coming home. Yeah. All that took going out a lot and coming home. So I think that answers it. Yeah. I think I don't have regrets on it.
Becky?
No, none.
None. That's awesome.
Yeah. I like the way out. So I don't have any regrets.
So we don't have the next event picked yet, right?
We're looking at May. Yep. We're looking into May.
Mm-hmm. And you're releasing music.
Yeah, I actually have a song coming out a week from, as we record this, a week from today. So it will be on April 5th.
Okay.
I have a new song coming out that I actually played the last time I was on the show.
Oh, good. All right.
Then my song called Horizon.
Oh, okay. I love that song.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that song. And I don't know why I said that fast. Let me slow that down. I love that song. The worst thing you could do in a world, I'm doing this. This is worse than reading the comments when you post something, is listening to yourself talk.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm listening to myself talk now for like 5 hours a week. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, first off, you need reconstruction surgery on your nose so you get that nasal thing out. Second off, you need a bracelet so every time you say you get zapped. And third off, I do this thing sometimes where, like, when I want somebody to, it's weird, when I want somebody to understand that I really mean what I'm saying, I say it like this. Yeah. And like I'm Captain Kirk. I'm really going to say it like this. I'm like, I really like that song. I'm like, stop doing that. Tom, can we buy the album?
It'll be coming up on all those, Thom O'Brien music platforms.
Thom O'Brien.
And, yeah.
So but you can physically buy the album.
Yeah.
All right. And is there like a companion? You should actually like make a deal with a turntable company and do like a companion.
Last year I think I knew I had 8 of the songs of 10. I had recorded about a dozen songs, so I put on a CD for my family just to have a Christmas gift.
Right.
And I didn't want to say, Google, pull it off your phone.
Right.
So I wanted them to have, and we did liner notes and stuff like this. But, and they're all like, we don't have CD players anymore. I'm like,
yeah.
And then I'm like, well, save your money up because next year you're going to have to buy a turntable.
Don't spend money on a CD player because next year.
So the thing about it is my, without question, my favorite producer and learned so much from listening to Rick Rubin talk about it. So he said, what you do is just make anything for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if anybody else, if you two like it, that's great.
Right.
He said, and so what I did was I just made it, not like selfishly, but these things make me happy. Like Pete Donnelly used to say, so is that too Springsteen? Like, he goes, does it make you happy? I'm like, yeah. He goes, no, that's it. Was what makes you happy. And then if other folks like it, great. I don't know what's going to happen with any of it. Also, one other thing I want to say at this point, to not have to depend on it, to have had day jobs, to be in a place where we're doing this for joy and love. And
the whole show, but I think Becky and I have talked about this a little bit, the financial construct of music as a business.
We did last time.
Oh, we did too. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We have to reinvent it. Yeah. I don't know how yet. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, but let us know.
I'll let you know. We'll let you know when I'm done. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No,
on
please.
Again.
Well, first off, co-host anytime, both of you. Anytime you want, and you're going to be in the neighborhood a lot.
I am going to be in the neighborhood a lot this summer.
Awesome. And I'm glad. I'm really glad that both. See, I'm not going to say this fast. I'm really glad that shit is coming together for you guys.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. I think you guys A, have a sweet relationship, but B, that stuff is coming to you now when it should is awesome to watch.
And you too. I mean, really, like what you're doing with the Lifted Project and bringing all these musicians together and shining a light on these nonprofits in the Hudson Valley is really, it's very special, and it's very special to be part of it. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for the show. I mean, you promote and you support, and you're so wonderful to people and giving everybody opportunity to have a voice and be part of amazing things. So thank you, John Burton.
Now I'm blushing. I'm gonna I'll play us out of here.
And thank you for co-writing with me. I'm sorry I didn't get to do the song that you helped me get over the finish line. I'll do it next time.
All right, but I'm serious. Like, after the 21st, the show's not booked anymore. So you want to do something? Like first week of May?
Yeah.
Because I just, while we were sitting here, I thought of like 2 more hours of shit to talk about.
Absolutely, right?
It wasn't my last experience with John. And this one, we were so excited coming up today.
That's awesome.
You make it easy peasy, man.
Nah.
And I'm like, is there a topic? No, it's not going to be. It's just going to go where it goes. The songs change. And we all move.
Because you know what?
I'm together.
What I find is, and it's weird, like I know you guys personally, so I don't do it. But like when I have people on the show that I don't know, I purposely like forearm them away from me. And I'm like, don't talk to me. because right. we're going to like it, anything I plan. I'm not a good actor. So anything I plan yeah. sounds scripted and stupid.
Good.
So I don't do it. Here, hold on.
That makes it, that's what makes it a good show.
I'm going to play us out. Becky, see if this sounds familiar.
Okie dokes. It does. We'll do it next time.
Oh, God, now I want to do a verse.
I know, right?
I'm John. That was Home From Here.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
I'm being dead serious for like about a 2-hour block because I'm like frustrated that I didn't get the half of what I wanted
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, we were like, wow.
I know. It goes so fast. It goes way too fast. Because yeah, you're a great host. That's why. Yeah, you keep it flowing and you let it go where it wants to go. Like.
And if I didn't have people coming in, I would just keep going and apologize to you later for holding
it. But there's something about the hour thing.